Welcome everyone. This BOF has been scheduled very spontaneously because the talk Peter gave yesterday. I'm the maintainer of Upstart and thought this might be a good idea to gather some ideas how we could improve our init system, how we could manage to transition to a new init system. I have some ideas in my mind. Want to hear a few if you think these ideas are crap or what. And I just want to start with some shortcomings I currently see in our current system. So, space. Yeah, our current init system is just a bunch of shell scripts. Actually, if you look at one of the shell scripts, it starts .daemon and you check the return code, and based on that, you do a log message and so on. And if you have to re-implement this again and again, and the policy changes over time, we have a very inconsistent init system at the moment. So we don't really have specified what return codes we have to use. There is the LSB, and I think we should, in the policy, refer to the LSB, what return codes we expect to at least improve our current system. And there's also the problem with our output. It's not very consistent at the moment. So it got a little bit better with the LSB logging mechanisms that are in place, but they're by far not that sufficient. Okay, another problem I encountered when I started to help co-maintain dbus was that whenever we had to restart dbus, there was a problem that dependent services had to be restarted too. So I think there are other cases where this is the same problem. So what can we do about it? The first thing about it is reordering the boot sequence dependent on the dependencies. That's the talk Peter. This Peter talked about it yesterday, and I thought maybe it made sense to implement the same kind of functionality in invoke RCD. I don't know, what do you think? Would it make sense that we have something like invoke RCD with depends, so we can restart that? I mean, I want this to be a BOF, so everybody should join in.
For some services it makes sense, for others it doesn't, so I don't know how to determine which one.
You need metadata for the let services possibly declare whether or not that makes sense.
Yeah, for example, restarting network might restart all the services using network or not in some circumstances. Normally they just listen to any interface and will keep running perfectly without network.
Yeah.
So
which raises the old NTP. It used to be that NTPD had that issue where you had to restart NTPD after you added new network interfaces or it wouldn't listen. Which was actually eventually fixed in NTPD itself, but other things do have that problem.
And how does it do? It sleeps and retries again?
It apparently periodically monitors the list of available network interfaces from the system call. But
so this is one option to fix every daemon and make it PAL and try again?
We fix a lot of different things that way. And already, and like for example, the LDAP server was always an ordering problem because of all the different things they decided that they wanted to. If you're using NS switch pointing to LDAP and the LDAP is your local LDAP, there's various different programs that have now been modified to be able to back off and retry. But so there is, you can get somewhere by doing that, and it makes it more robust when you can, but there's some times when you can't.
I think the problem here is that you, as I said, you'd have to fix every daemon, and that you would have 20 processes sleeping doing essentially nothing. So there can be better ways than that. And what's the other problem with our current system? It's in our current init system, we can't handle situations where you plug in USB stick, where you probably have your home system mounted, stuff like that, where you have your network connected via a wireless card that is after you booted, and our current system can't deal with that really good. That's why I come to Upstart later on. Another problem is service supervision, so we don't really have a way to monitor services daemons and restart them when they are started, when they are killed, when they die. So we'd have to refer to other tools like Runit, Monit, stuff like that. But it sits on top of that, and you have to use that.
It's not the thing. Monit dies. Nothing's watching Monit.
Yeah.
Screwed. Which would be annoying.
But it will. And the nice thing, if we can integrate this into init, it's that init has special semantics. So if a child, if a fork, process dies, you can monitor it easily. So this is usually the process you want to do there.
One of the better inits I saw allowed you to have arbitrary numbers of servers which were monitored and restarted.
Yeah.
Because for a real server, that's really, really important. The one thing you care about is the things that died get brought back again.
Yeah.
Well, so there's a reason, though, why everybody invented, why starting with daemon tools, everybody's been reinventing this wheel and without using init, despite the fact that init's had its capability for forever, and that's the interface to temporarily bringing a service down when you have init monitoring it is hideous. You basically have to, I mean, for most inits, you basically have to comment out the init line and then tell init to reread its configuration file, and that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. The advantage of all these other utilities like monit and runit and whatever else is they have a control socket to the process that's monitoring that particular service, and you can run a command line and say, take the service down, bring the service up, issue an arbitrary signal to the service, a bunch of other things like that that are actually extremely useful in practice for doing things to that daemon.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody added that to an init, I'd be happy to use init, but init as it is doesn't have that capability.
Yeah, it's too stupid, isn't it?
Oh. And well, init is not designed to have that capability. It was designed a very long time ago, before the nits arrived, so I don't think it can be even engineered to decently do it.
And there's a strong argument to be made for making init as simple as possible.
Yep.
I mean, it is process one, and if init dies, you're... Yeah, it gets really annoying.
So, with all this said, there were some attempts by Ubuntu, you probably know it, it's called Upstart. I'm currently the maintainer of it in Debian, and I'm very interested to make it possible to get Upstart installed in Debian so we can really use it as an alternative, maybe as the default in the future, who knows. And there are currently some issues that are blocking that, and I'll come to that later. So first, some nice things about Upstart. So it's totally event-based. What you need are events, and events are generated whenever you plug in a hardware device. When a job is started, itself generates an event. So let's say dbus is started, the job itself emits an event, but it's called dbus started. And whenever such an event is emitted, you can write another job that listens on that event and is started on behalf of that. So, the only event that Upstart itself emits is startup, and from that on, you start your boot process. What that gives you is that your boot process is completely race-free, so you mount a device when the device is ready, and not some arbitrary number in the boot process. And the actual idea to make the boot process robust, and not so much what some call Upstart is for making the boot up faster. That's not the actual goal of Upstart, but it's a nice side effect. And I had some nice pictures that shows that I could, by 50% my boot time went down because it also parallelizes it. It just fires event and many of them are started in parallel.
Are you involved in the development?
Yeah, let's say the upstream, the core developer is Scott James Randman. So what I'm trying to do is not do the core development. I personally want to develop a dbus proxy for you. That's my personal goal, to do that as a head project, which is a bit separate from it. But I'm listening on the mailing list. I give comments whenever Scott wants its feature to have discussed. So this is my involvement, basically. But the main author of Upstart is Scott James Randman.
Are the
Debian
developers involved in the development of Upstart?
Other than I don't think so, but there are other distributions. One I know of already uses Upstart as main boot system to try.
Which one's
Debian developer?
It's Frogware, if you know that. It's a smaller distribution.
Which one?
Frogware. Don't ask me how it's pronounced. And there are some, I would say, 15 people who are around at the IRC channel of Upstart, discussing things and stuff like that. And I put the URL
down there, so I don't know. It's upstartubuntu.com.
Exactly, there's a wiki where you can leave comments. Every new feature that is discussed, Scott usually writes a spec where he wants, where he writes
people's
where he's written down what he wants to have implemented.
Yeah.
Well, there are some.
Yeah, what I think is really nice about the concept of Upstart is that currently the version that is experimental, so you can install it today, is what it basically does. There's one job called RCS that listens on the Upstart event, and when that is started, it drives a complete system five-layer compat layer. So at the moment, it uses your existing init scripts, so you won't notice a difference. This is the advantage that Upstart can be stress tested, and we can check if the code actually works, and it does. As far as today, it does this very well, and we can transfer jobs bit by bit to real native Upstart jobs. And if we want to have the full power of Upstart, we have to do that somehow, somewhere, to write native Upstart jobs. Now the problem is how we are going to do that for Debian. If every package that ships an init script should do that for system 5 init and ship an Upstart job, or should there be a separate package that ships all the Upstart jobs that have been written so far, and then when you install a package, it installs the corresponding Upstart job? This is something I wanted to discuss with you mainly. That's my concern. So. Okay, there's still some work to do before Upstart can be a complete replacement. There's something called complex event config. It's something when you want to combine several events together. Say, if the network device has been plugged in and this condition or this condition, but not this condition, this is currently not yet working. What it currently does, it only listens for events and ORs them. So if that happens or that happens or that happens, start it. That's basically it. But it's basically enough to drive a complete boot process with Upstart jobs alone. And I'm using it already on my laptop, and it's working pretty well so far. Fortunately, I can't demo it because my laptop, I couldn't get it to work with it. So everyone who's interested in the format of these Upstart job files, I can show it to you later. So.
Isn't it just like an exit line and the daemon with command parameters?
Yeah, that's a big difference between Upstart and System 5 init script. So it's declarative. You just say, okay, this is the path to my daemon. These are the parameters. Then you say, okay, do you want to have it respawned or not? And then you have sections called pre-start, post-start, where you can prepare the environment for the daemon to be started. So for example, a typical use case for that would be to create a run directory or initialize something, load a module. And that's basically it. You write down and all the other stuff is automatically handled by Upstart. So if you type in start, that's a command by Upstart, start job name, it just brings it up. If the daemon is already started, it just does nothing. And if you type in init ctl list, it shows you all running processes or all running jobs. And you can easily stop one job, and based on that, other jobs are either stopped if they have corresponding stopped on, let's say, debug stopped commands in it, so they will be brought down automatically and brought up again when debug is started. So it's pretty easy, the format. So.
How does it decide if a job is already running?
Pardon?
How does it decide if a job is already running? When you go to start a new one, for example.
So as soon as the process is spawned, it says, okay, this job is started, and an event is fired that this job is done.
Okay.
If you have
so it's kept track of by the running Upstart daemon.
Yeah. So the other thing is, if you have a daemon that is after it started, it takes a while to initialize, spawn other daemons and stuff like that. You can there is a post start section where you can monitor something like, okay, you have a Tomcat instance which connects to a MySQL server, and only after that it's considered to be ready. You can ping your Tomcat server or your Apache server, and only after that your server is considered to be up. So, yeah.
What happens if you upgrade Upstart?
It just tells it to re-exit itself, reloads it, and that's it.
It keeps all the state.
Yeah, no problem.
Where is it keeping the state?
It's skipping it. It just reloads itself, so it's keeping it in memory. Yeah.
But you can't keep the state in memory if you re-accept yourself.
What does it do? No, it just reloads it, sorry. It just sends a signal, so it reloads the configuration, that's all.
Okay.
Yeah. So it continues running the old binary until the next time
you
reboot.
Yeah,
basically.
Right. Yeah.
Well, considering the fact that this, was it the meta info, in the previous session, somebody described something about this extra info in the LSB info.
Yeah.
It basically has the daemon name. If you can just add the parameters, it's pretty easy to generate the upstart scripts from there unless something special has to happen.
Well, I'll come to that later, so just a moment. So, one thing that I think that are currently blocking to get upstart into Debian is the following, that our current system 5 init package is required and essential. So if I want to replace sbin init, I can't do that easily. If I'm not resort to workarounds or hacks like the wording in it, but I don't want to do that. I want to handle that in a different way. And there's also the problem that our packages, our maintainer scripts, are expecting invoke RCD and update RCD. So they have to be around all the time, I think, even during upgrades. So if you look at the sysvrc package, which does nice copy around magic when you upgrade it or when you remove it. So I thought that maybe this could be handled a bit easier to have always an invoke RCD and update RCD around. So my idea was to have a package called initbase, where you ship very basic implementations of these tools, which only do nothing, just return zero. And then the actual implementation installs, or the actual init script installs implementation of update RCD and invoke RCD. Does it sound like a plan? I mean,
I don't think that would work. I'm not quite sure why, but it doesn't sound like it's going to work for me, because installing a boot system do not really convert the machine to use that boot system. And like if you install sys5 RC, you don't really have all the RCD directories with symlinks in them. And you really need to keep the old boot system until you actually reboot with new one before you can ditch it. So it's a complex problem to replace the boot system. You have to be very careful when you do it after the machine is installed.
Yeah. What happens if you install upstart at the current system is you replace sbin init, and when you shut down, it just basically calls the old system 5 layer. Yeah. So there shouldn't be that much of a problem. Yeah. And I don't think
all boot systems will have to keep the system 5 boot system around until they actually is able to shut down.
Yeah.
So which init program to run is a parameter somewhere in the boot process, isn't it?
Which
can you,
init,
can you tell
it's been init.
You can tell grub.
That's right.
To run a different init.
By default, it's been init, but you can change it to something else.
I wonder if that's an easier approach to switching. Yeah.
But I don't know.
Actually, you want to pass the parameter to the kernel at boot time.
Right.
So it's not automatic.
Right. So you
init energy.
Pardon?
When you switch to init energy, it just tell you to pass another parameter to boot. Grub that is passed to the init FS and so on.
But I don't think init in that form is a complete replacement, because it doesn't ship the usual tools like halt, reboot, shutdown.
That's already been taken care of. All those tools were moved into a different package already.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, I know that, but what I wanted to say is if you install init and g as it is currently, it's not a complete replacement, because you have to manually configure stuff, so to say, okay, use that tool and not the old ones. So if you want to replace it, it has to replace sbin init. So.
Well, the boot option can be handled by update grub automatically. There could be if there's a setting somewhere what to use, then update grub could insert the right parameter automatically. So we don't have the users editing it if they don't want it.
But I think
so
his point is
that's solvable.
I think his point is that some of the other system administration tools are expecting to run ESPN init in order to do their action.
My plan is to replace ESPN init and not work around somehow to rename it, and I think that's the only way it will work properly.
I believe your assumption is flawed because you have to keep the old one around until you boot.
Yeah.
And when you have to keep it around until you boot, it's going to be ESPN init and ESPN halt and a few other ones.
Well, I could show you. I can replace a running system with upstart and you can shut down.
You're replacing it with an upstart that runs compatibility mode.
Yeah,
I mean,
what you have to do right now is to correct.
I can replace a running ESPN init process with upstart in the combat mode. Mm-hmm. So,
the idea of having a grub parameter is that it would be that, like, on the first boot, you install together with stuff, you have like an update script that is executed on first boot and then removes the grub parameter again.
Yeah, but if you have removed the system file in a package and it's gone, then it's been in this way, and I don't want to install it in parallel, so because then the package can't keep track of it.
I did notice one thing, PDoF is missing from upstart. I had a system that didn't boot because of that. Not completely anyway.
Right.
PDoF is missing from upstart, at least the Debian
package. This binary or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was quite funny because the device I was using it on relied on PDoF to find certain things to get caught in its boot.
Okay, so executable even shipped in sys5?
That's one of the ones in sys5 init utils at this point. PID of along with last and a few other
things. Okay, and it's intended that way, that these utils are shipped in the sys5 utils package and you can install them along upstart. So that's actually intended to work that way.
Okay, I thought upstart actually removed them.
I guess it should depend on it then.
Yeah, if you install the upstart compat sys5 package, it will install sys5 utils package.
Right, after checking again.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, basically this was my... If we don't go this way, how could we make the sys5 init package not essential, not required to have the chance to install upstart? If you think this idea is not going to work.
Don't you think it is a... actually suitable to just keep the sys5 init installed, the package, and via the grub parameter upon the next boot, just completely switch over to your system, and whatever it is, I mean,
But you have many clashing binaries. It's ESPN init that clashes with upstart.
But ESPN init does not clash because you have the boot parameter. And any other binaries that are clashing?
Halt, reboot,
shutdown. They could be grepper scripts that check what's the current init script and run it. The problem is, as far as I see, mostly the upgrade until the first reboot. But that's no problem if you just replace the boot parameter, because that's not active until the next reboot. And then all the binaries that are called while the system is running, and these could just check, well, what's the current process one? Yeah. Is it, what's the executable name? Is it ESPN init? Is ESPN upstart? And depending on that, do the right thing. So I think that would work, and they have the nice advantage that you always have the sys5 init installed. And in case something goes wrong, you have the choice to just boot grub with another init parameter, and you have another init system.
The problem is that it requires manual editing, I think. So
no, not exactly. You could query the or check in some way, for example, even with the process name, you could query which init system is currently running. And the wrappers would have to be a bit more intelligent, and therefore a bit more complex. But still, they can query what is running and just run whatever is needed based on. Hmm.
And there's no manual interaction with the grub because you can have grub update have this functionality, so it can just.
Can you pass a parameter to update grub? So
if
you have to manually edit boot grub manually, that's not.
The kernel install does it, for example.
You just call update grub in your postinst, and of course update grub has to know about the fact that it has to decide what instance to install, and it could either have a priority thing or there could be an alternative. Any way for the for you to decide what instance to run. It does not involve editing boot grub, but maybe etc this is the image system I want, or just debug reconfigure upstart makes it itself insert to the grub.
So the question is actually, how can we modify the grub system to be more adaptable to changing init systems?
Yeah.
At the moment, it's not easy to do without manual editing, but it's perfectly possible to talk to a hardware and get it fixed.
Well, so, you know, there.
then you know the file you just type in init equals aspen
upsat.
Wouldn't it be easier to make a two-stage install?
Okay.
Like, you want to install the package.
I just want to go on with some slides more because
it's really short, actually.
Yeah, okay.
So basically, it's two-stage install. You install the package. The first thing it does, puts the binaries in a place where it knows they are. That's the grub. Puts into in a single user mode, actually, kind of thing, without run levels, where it knows that it's good to that script, installs all the stuff, removes the old stuff, and then reboots again. Then you start from a clean system.
I don't know. I mean, what about the old package? If we just remove it, it's still recorded.
You only remove it afterwards. You only remove it when you're in a kind of single user mode where the updates, where the install script runs it. So you don't have a run level because you're in single user mode.
So you just want to RM a binary without having it removed from the package database?
Dpackage runs.
I think we can conclude that switching the boot system while it's running, it's a complex problem.
That's why,
as I said,
do it from single user.
If I go the root sysfar init, upstart plus compact layer, it's not a problem. It actually works today. You just install it. It shuts down, and if we really want to move to the system, we could make it upstart plus compact sysfar for one release. For the next, we could go to the new init upstart jobs. So this would be a possible upgrade path. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I don't know. It's only says 1,000 packages using init scripts. So
well, the nice thing about that would be we could replace the sysfar init package with upstart. It has basically exactly the same functionality as it has today. Because it uses the system file init scripts, and so we don't lose anything, and we don't gain anything much.
And what we get, this compatibility mode you said that upstart has, can be even, I guess, used in different systems. Because it's just a binary that calls all the RC files in order, right?
So exactly. It just calls the old system file in its scripts.
So this script could be even split from upstart, put into the base init, the whatever indispensable inits that we will have.
Well, it
that doesn't really
the drugs, yeah, that doesn't help us really. I think
it's not possible either because it's in the binaries.
We had a few more slides.
Yeah,
it's like in the
okay.
The compatibility.
Okay, this was basically my idea to have that to make really possible to have sys5 in it not being required and essential, to introduce this new package, make this one required and essential, and let this one depend on the actual implementation default. So any init system that can provide a complete implementation that means a working invoke RCD and working update RCD, plus driving all init scripts that are currently available either through a compat layer or through native jobs, could have this provides in its system, so you could really replace it.
Do we have a documentation describing what that boot system is supposed to contain, like update RC and halt and pdog and all these things? Is there a document?
I mean, update RCD and invoke RCD are the current APIs. I would call it in Debian for managing init scripts. So I think this is a starting point to.
Yeah, but that's not complete.
I could write on this list what is expected.
Yeah. It's probably useful. Because then you can compare the available in systems and see if they actually fill the list or not.
Yeah.
But that's, if we can define a subset which is interchangeable, a scheme like this can
work. Yeah, for example, GVM calling this binary for shutdown and stuff like that would be. Yeah.
But if they're all too different, then it all gets a bit.
Yeah.
Well, even if you can't get between different systems, still going with this gives you the option when you're writing custom installers and things that you could have one install process that gives you SysViaNet and another install process that gives you Upstart.
Yeah, yeah. This was another idea. So if you install it from
and that might be easier to just decide when you create the installer what you're going for and make it possible to keep upgrading the old systems but they don't have a new feature.
What happens with Ruby on Lilo? It's a similar kind of tricky to change thing.
The old systems with Lilo are still running Lilo. Mm. Unless the manual process to change was done.
I mean, you can't just apt-get installed Ruby and it changes over.
No, it doesn't.
No, okay, so.
You could try.
Yeah, well, I was wondering, yeah, maybe we just say...
Within 5 to 10 years, all the old systems
you could, are gone. That's right, you could just say it's an install and only thing, and then it's a much simpler problem. Obviously, it is nice to be able to change.
Okay, okay, there's another problem I'm currently dealing with, and that is I want to get native Upstart jobs or native InnovNG jobs or whatever having installed on your system. Currently, as I said, it drives the complete system file share. So how should we do that? There's this approach called MetaInit, where you describe it for in a common description language, and you generate the start file or the start job file for your system in use. But I think there are a few problems. Let me skip to the slide. And this is, yeah, that if you, that we have problems testing it if different developers use different systems, we will have possibly problems to verify that the boot sequence is correct. Someone using Upstart might not test the scripts or the MetaInit scripts for the current system, System 5, for example. And we also discussed it that MetaInit only targets the simpler scripts, so we still have the more complex initialization scripts, VDUDEV, HoloDBus, and stuff like that, Apache. I'm not sure if we can manage to handle that with MetaInit. And so there's still a way that we need to have this native start jobs for a different init system to have to replace the corresponding System 5 init job. So it's clear somehow what I wanted to say.
Since the MetaInit idea is only a few days old, maybe you shouldn't start with those slight possible problems, but maybe first describe it.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless anyone ever here has already.
It was MetaInit. I thought it was already above, so you discussed.
The event of this MetaInit can solve one problem. It's actually the quality of the startup scripts.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there are like startup scripts that like grab BS, this, awk, and like spawning 7 shells and doing lots of things while one command could do it, which actually slows down your boot.
I don't want to bury this idea. It's not my intention. But what I want to have in mind when doing this MetaInit idea is to actually get an idea how many scripts can actually be handled with this MetaInit idea, so we have hard numbers. So I think we have around 1,000 init scripts at the moment in the archive. And when we could say, okay, we have 900 that we can handle with MetaInit, this would be an achievement. So
only 2 out of 4 of mine. Take a random figure.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of init scripts that do strange things. I mean, I have one that has to check for the kernel module being loaded, and another one that checks a bunch of stuff around whether or not you already have an LDAP database. So.
No, but as we originally discussed this, of course, discussion changes when implementing. But as we originally discussed this, not every package can use MetaInit. But most things can be specified. I mean, not only the most basic installations, startup scenarios, but also some of the ones that have a bit of complexity. I do think that, I don't know, throwing just a number, but over 90% of the packages we currently ship, having shipping init scripts will be available with MetaInit.
Okay. So my question is, how do we deal with the remaining 100 init scripts?
Yes.
Right. So
replace
them in a running system.
Well, sure, but if you see the scope of MetaInit as a way to make most of the scripts consistent and behave properly and efficiently for system 5. Then it's perfectly possible to generate a lot of these scripts automatically with a template. Mm-hmm. And if you then reduce the number of problematic scripts from 1,000 to 100, the problem is suddenly possible to grasp in an evening.
Yeah. We still have right to now is that even if it's very easy to migrate, well, we have to get 1,000 people to migrate their scripts. And even if it's only a good thing, well, it's not by default, so it's not that easy. It's also what you propose with Upstart, well, sounds great, but you have to get people to migrate.
Yeah, sure. I'm looking for ideas. This meta edit could deal with the 90%, I think, and the remaining 100. I don't know how to tackle this. If I, as Upstart maintainer, should ship these 100 init scripts for the more complex ones in my own package, and on install time, instead of installing the sysv init counterpart, I take it from my package and test it from there. Would that be an idea? Yeah. Should the package itself ship system 5 init start scripts and Upstart start scripts?
I suspect that the most complex boot scripts in Debian boot systems are the ones in the init scripts packet.
Sure, I mean mounting, network initialization.
The early boot system is very complex and it gets a lot easier when you have a file system that actually is writable and enjoyable.
So but on the other hand, if you look, for example, at the Bluetooth start script, it's pretty complex and long and stuff like that. So this would be broken up in smaller chunks usually within Upstart, where you actually start very little pieces only and react on, for example, when and Bluetooth devices edit, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You find a bug and you keep the patch to maintain.
Yeah, I mean, is it easy for each application to supply Upstart scripts? That seems to me to be the right answer. The moment they supply any scripts, they should supply Upstart scripts.
Yeah. The problem is that it maybe takes much longer to get started. If I want to say, okay, Peter, you can install Upstart, and you can run it now. If I have to wait until all the people get there,
but it's to get to the point where I can actually recommend people start using dependency-based system 5 scripts. So it takes a while in Debian.
Okay.
Yeah. Well. If you can reduce it to 100 instead of 1,000, it's going to take less time.
Yeah. Of course, you have to.
And it might even be that some of the problematic are actually not. Might be that a number of those problematic ones in system 5 might be really easy in Upstart or who knows what. What a system we use.
But yeah, I think MetaInit is a great idea regardless of whether or not we switch to any other different init system, just because the majority of init scripts in Debian are badly written. And if the more people we can get to stop writing init scripts and instead describe what they want to do and let something and write an init script for them,
exactly.
The
better off we are.
Yeah. This was something we need better understanding of what our current init scripts are actually doing if they're...
Yes.
Because another problem I see is that the event-based paradigm and the dependency-based paradigm are different. So I'm not sure if we can handle many jobs that with both. So
that could be tricky.
Yeah.
I have the feeling this meta-init already even contains like dependency information.
Well, the idea currently for meta-init is, but that's of course very alpha.
Meta-init DSP header, so meta-init use that.
So where I myself see meta-init where it can really help is that we get more consistency with our current system 5 init. So as I said before, most of the init scripts are just start.daemon. Shell scripts are duplicated a lot, just copy and paste mostly from existing ones.
From
skeleton, skeleton gets updated and the return codes. It's a bit messy. Maybe it's getting better or more consistent this way.
Sorry to interrupt, but even a bit more than being consistent. For example, when we adopted the having the LSB headers, well, it took a while. I'm sure there are many scripts which still don't ship that information. The main help will be when going forward. Yes, whenever we start requiring some changes in the way our scripts are made, because the thing is we want to trigger the original idea we had is via DPKG triggers, which are not even yet accepted, but whatever. The thing is the init scripts can be kept up to date, and right now they depend on the update of the package.
No.
The one of the advantages of the LSP stuff, though, was is that we were able to write a Lintian check rule for it, and some of the things that we've discussed here are complicated enough that it's hard to do that. For example, I have no idea how I'd even start writing a Lintian check for your init script is simple enough, you should be using meta init.
It's very close to the skeleton, it should probably...
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, it's hard to do that kind of sort of fuzzy matching in Perl.
Actually, I think Enrico can do that.
What, by magic, or...?
No, using Zapian.
Okay.
Which is magic text search technology, which is what DevTags is based on, but it just, you know, it can do, looks a bit like. That's what we want.
Okay, so...
I must admit that Debian is, as far as I can see, a slow organization to turn. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why I didn't jump the Upstart wagon when Scott asked me about it, if I was interested in working on the development. Because I don't think it's possible to switch Debian to a new boot system within a short time frame. And that's why I focused on the headers.
I think it will be hard, but I think Upstart has great potential, and because it's really provides this 100% compatibility, I actually don't see why it couldn't replace it, and then step by step we move to this new system.
Sure, and my effort to actually to make the System 5's boot system correct doesn't really conflict with that.
No, it doesn't. So
and I'm well aware that the kernel's event-based boot features is unsolvable with the System 5 boot system.
I mean, there are many problems I couldn't speak in detail is with when you initialize LVM on RAID and stuff like that, where you have a lot of race conditions. It's our current system can't really deal with that correctly, I think, and it won't in the future. And then there's where Upstart really can help to improve the situation. And I don't think we can handle that with system.
But that is a very few packages involved in that part of the system. It's probably ten packages in the Debian system that's handled hardware loading, file system.
But we actually need a new init for that, in my opinion. How would you handle that with System 5 to make that possible?
I don't know.
Possible?
But my focus at the moment is to improve the current system to a point where we know that there's no need to optimize anymore. It's correct and fairly stable. And when we got that to that point, I think the rest of the Debian community will be well aware of the bugs of the early system and ready to switch to something better. Maybe it's Upstart, maybe it's something else, I don't know.
I think the Debian way of introducing a new init system would be compared to introducing a new architecture. Some team of very intelligent people start working for seemingly nothing, converting package by package to additionally include their init script and using some kind of interesting hacks to make the init system run without changing what everyone else uses. Yeah. And after a while, the system suddenly supports 80% of init scripts and people say, okay, it's almost there, let's make it more official supported and push the rest together so they support it. And in the end, actually I'm hoping that Debian can be as flexible enough to give the user the choice of init system.
And the problem I see with that is that if you have half a dozen of init systems, and every init system maintainer bugs the maintainer come on ship my init script too, so it will get a bit messy. So and because you'd have to update it, and the maintainer of the package probably doesn't run every init system available.
Then you publish those bugs like
applications. But it's still a problem for the 100 complex init scripts.
Well, we also have to see how many of those people are going to install actually those 100 complex scripts. Because like I said, most of them are like in the beginning, and then some of the complex stuff are like maybe servers or weird daemons that maybe minority runs.
But then again, you have some very unpopular packages such as Apache, such as Samba. I mean, the good thing to be able to pinpoint one of them is that it's easier to get the maintainer or the team to make some changes.
Yeah.
But they're not minority packages. They're very...
They don't have to be
Apache
that complex.
Is not really complex. Mm-hmm. You have Apache control.
But some of these very popular packages have relatively complex.
Well, I don't think it's a property of the system that it has to have a complex boot script. I think it's more like how they structure it. They can have like a script to do magic and run the program. And then the init script is like two lines, run the magic and run the program.
Well, people, I have to cut you now.
Yeah.
I see we're in a good discussion, but